Good morning, it's the Gloucestercast. I'm here with BJ Moen, Sister Felicia, two times in 7 days, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. I think so.
Something like that. It's an honor and a privilege to have you guys here as we fade out the music. We got a lot to talk about this week, not the least of which is what I just found out about 2 days ago. I ran into, I was talking to the mayor, and we ran into this guy named Art McCann, who's like an old World War II veteran, like cagey old veteran. Like this guy, you could see in his eyes, he's seen the shit. You know what I mean? He has been
been around the block a few times.
He's been around the block. He has obviously, you know, these war veterans, you can't give them enough, kudos for what, you know, the sacrifices they made and what they had to go through and what they saw. But this guy was on fire because, well, he was happy, I guess, because a while back there was talk that there was not, that they were not going to repaint the sign that said home of the, on Newell Stadium that said home of the fighting fishermen. And so he got a petition together, and the guys that signed the petition were Art McCann, John Gus Foote, Bob Wynott, David Watson, Lee Kennedy, Mike McLeod, and Rick Noonan. Now that I look at that list, that's the everyday morning crew at Cape Ann Coffee, but all old-timers, big-time Gloucester guys. And thank God for these guys that stood up against the politically correct machine and put this petition together because, you know, at their age, they don't have a job. You know, they're all retired. Most of them are retired guys, and they don't have to worry what these, you know, these politically correct banana heads think. And you know, the voice of reason was heard. And I just want to read, if I can find this story quickly, I want to read from the Gloucester Daily Times what their reasoning was. It said in the article in the Times says to fisherman football and that fighting spirit to the editor to strive determinedly to achieve something, opportunity to succeed by great effort, to repel with effort, to struggle against great odds. These are just a few definitions of fighting according to Webster's Dictionary. Sure, there are other definitions, but fighting to win does not always mean throwing punches. It takes a fighting spirit to be a winner. When a doctor says he's a fighter, referencing a patient recovering from a disease, he is talking about his spirit. And there's another kind of fighting, the kind that our brave men and women in the military do. They fight for our freedom and sing the national anthem and fly the American flag at football games. When a ball carrier in high school football game is trying to when a ball carrier in a high school football game is trying to gain a few yards or break through for a touchdown, he is fighting for every inch. Let's keep the fighting spirit alive. Let's bring back fighting fisherman football and put the spirit back in the game. Now, BJ, your comment was, would these pacifists rather it be called the
home of the pacifistic fisherman?
Home of the pacifistic fisherman, and I added. Maybe to make them happy, we could say, home of the let's lay down rose petals for you on the way to our end zone, and you can walk past us into the end zone, fishermen. This is a sport. This is you're in a battle.
It's competitive.
It's competitive, and thank God the voice of reason and men like Art McCann are still around to fight these battles and right injustices.
Yeah,
wherever they may
definitely.
Be. Right?
Yes, I think it's ridiculous that even was considered to take it off the stadium.
Who? I did searches on the Gloucester Daily Times website trying to find where the root was for this. Because I wanted to expose that person. I wanted to embarrass them.
Yeah. Embarrass them. Put them on the blog.
Put them on the blog. Yeah. No, but I didn't. But it was just, what are they?
Well, it'd be nice to know what their reason was.
You know what I mean?
It's political correctness.
But clearly there's other definitions for that word. You know, like several other good reasons to use that word. I don't know.
The fighting fisherman. Well, it's staying, so
it's good.
That's a good thing. We got a question I put out on our the Good Morning Gloucester community group page on Google+. If anybody had any questions they want answered. And we got a great couple questions from a friend of the blog, Anne Kennedy. These are her questions. She says, I've been curious about these things. As an evolving blog, where do you see it headed? Where do you see your role in this evolution? Are there things you want to be doing more of or less of? And how would you compare the blog's content now with what it was a year or two ago? Thanks, as always, Anne Kennedy. And
good questions.
It's great questions.
Tough questions, though.
Well, yeah, I haven't given it a ton of thought, although I have, in my head, I already have kind of the answers. I just haven't thought them all the way through. But as an evolving blog, where do I see it headed? I see it headed in the same direction it's been going. The mission statement has always been to have a lot of fun, to help people wherever we can, and to look for win-wins that we can exploit in the community, where the person that's putting on an event wins, the person that is, it's going to benefit somebody, and, you know, where all, like, we...
Connecting
people, but always, like...
Positive.
Like everybody coming out a winner, it's always a value proposition for the person putting on the event and the person that's participating in the event. That's kind of what we always try to strive for. So more of that. That's as far as it evolving. That's how I see it. Evolution being the same way. Maybe we use different types of technology to get our points across. Like the podcast is something that I've really been having fun with.
Yeah.
Maybe we do something different with video, and maybe some technologies change.
Well, we just had that new technology, that whole thing with some of our posts were so long and people had to scroll past them and they've come up. So, yeah, things are always coming up that we can make things better and easy navigation
true.
For people. So,
yeah, you're talking about the more button.
The more button.
So you don't have a long, like, 20-picture post. You see the initial thing, a little blurb, and then say, if you want to see the whole post, you just click here and it expands.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's great.
So where do I see my role in this evolution? The same way. The shepherd, and I do a majority of the editing. We have... without the contributors, it isn't what it is. But like I do, my role has become less of, I do a lot of content creation, but a lot of it is actually doing, putting out press, editing press releases that come in and making sure those go up. So that's...
But people need to understand the amount
that comes in.
Like you're getting...
I'm getting like because through the popularity of the blog, people discover it and understand the power of how many people see it. So they, it's a good thing. It's kind of a curse, but a good curse that I can provide this service. But it also takes so much time that I don't. It takes away from my creative time.
Exactly. I think that's what. A lot of the contributors, it's great. You have so many contributors and everybody contributes something different angles. They take care of different things that are going on in the community. That's their forte. That's their passion. And it's, easy for them to write. They're in it. They feel it. They do it. But like you said, you're really, if all of us didn't have you, there wouldn't be Good Morning Gloucester. You direct and you do it well.
Yeah, well, it's like everything we do is a lot of hands make lighter work. It's just a lot of my attention because of the amount of press releases that come in is devoted towards this community service work. Posting these things that are happening for other people, and we don't charge people for that stuff. So that's kind of a nice thing. I do get rewarded that way in people appreciating it when people appreciate it. Let's see. Are there things you want to be doing more of or less of?
Oh. We have lists of things that Good Morning Gloucester would love to do, but it's
I would personally like to be doing more creative and writing. I like it when I get to go on my little rants, and hope people understand that, when I'm going on these rants, I'm taking it, a little bit far, just to drive home points and to make fun. And a lot of people take things literally, but they're not meant to be literal. Some people, and I had this conversation with Frank. I had this conversation with Frank Schilino yesterday. His daughter does not understand sarcasm at all. Like she takes everything so literally that like jokes, some jokes to her, like, are very offensive, even though the person didn't mean it that way at all. So, but most people get the jokes. So I would like to be doing more creating and less.
And I think a lot of people enjoy those posts when you get to do them. So,
oh
yeah,
yeah. No, there's no question.
They're very popular. Very popular.
Yeah, they're definitely very popular. And less of I actually wish I had an intern that would.
Me too.
That I could just send all of the press releases to,
awesome.
And they would just be responsible for the press releases.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that would be very rewarding for someone. So that's why I haven't asked anyone to just step up. And
I know a lot of people have approached and said, "Oh, you should get an intern. You know, it can help you in so many different ways." But then, like you say, like, I don't know. I feel bad. Like, we can't afford to pay them. Like, people need to understand the contributors and everything that goes into the blog is, you know, it's a non-paying gig. And then to ask somebody, it's a huge commitment to do what everyone is doing. I don't know. I personally would love to have an intern too.
Yeah.
Do all, because I feel like all of us could be so much more productive doing what we do when you take out some things that just aren't.
But for you, you create one. Your posts are very intense.
Oh yeah.
But you're responsible for one post a day.
Yeah, you're responsible. For
I'm
everything.
Responsible for like.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Know, the comments.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And like six posts a day.
Yeah.
And
you said, imagine if you gave somebody that job that you. I have taken on now of all this stuff, information coming in that needs to get put up. If you had somebody doing that, you know, we could hear more of your rants. I think people would love it.
Yeah, I agree on that. So then the last question she asked was, how would you compare the blog's content now with what it was a year or two ago? And I would say that the blog's content has been diluted from what my original purpose was. You know, my vision, but that's not, I'm not saying that that's a good or a bad thing, but what I'm saying is it's definitely not, you know, whereas the first couple of years of the blog, it was Joey Shimotaro doing, you know, 2/3 of the work and Sharon Lowe did, you know, a little bit, and then Mike Lindberg came on board, and then we added, you know, we started adding more and more, and as we added more and more contributors, and they were more and more diverse. On purpose, you know, I did this purposely, you know, bringing in people that had diverse backgrounds and, you know, and likes and stuff like that. So, you know, so. So, yeah, so I it's just, and although it's diluted and it's not exactly my vision, I recognize that there are a lot of people that, like, there's no possible way that I could satisfy everyone, because there are some people that get upset when I get edgy. You say a bad word or whatever. But then there's some people that absolutely love that and want it to be nothing but edgy. And then there's some people that want it to be nothing but, like, you know, Kim Smith posts that are, you know, oh, you know, everything's wonderful and nice and pretty and everything like that. And there's never any kind of, you know, controversy or anything. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that, because Kim, you know, gets controversial with her GMO and, you know, her and Paul Morrison go back and forth, whatever. But for all intents and purposes, some people would just like it to be beautiful pictures. Some people would like it to be. There is no.
You're either too soft or you're too edgy.
Right.
No,
but I think people over, but I think the overall thing, when you take it all into consideration, and it's obvious that we're striking a chord with people, because we add subscribers every single day, to people that subscribe for free, but people that are following the blog because they like it overall, but it's because it offers so much diverse information. And I think the diversity in some makes it a better blog. Like, if for me, right, my favorite blog would be Barstool Sports.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's all, like, you know, like crazy ranting and, you know what I mean, over-the-top banana stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, they're totally inappropriate, totally, you know, but I see it as humor and stuff like that. But I can appreciate that my mother is not going to like Barstool Sports. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So her favorite blog might be, you know, something to do with cooking. You know what I mean? And I know that there's people that, like, freak out and love everything that Felicia does. And then there's people that freak out and love, everything that Marty Luster does, his black and white photography and his poems and stuff that. You know what I mean? And then there's people that just strictly go to the blog for the music listings. So
that's why it's so good that it's so diverse, though, because you get so many different areas that appeal to different types of people.
And you can easily scroll through what you don't want to read. You don't have to read something that you find offensive or that's not interesting to you. Just scroll past it.
Either one. That's what I do. I'll be perfectly honest with you, right? I'm not going out at night going to music events, right?
Yeah.
So I don't, honestly, and I love Peter and Vicky Van Ness, I don't know that I've ever read one of their posts in the past 6 months, because I know I'm not going to the Larcom Theater to, you know, to go to a music thing, because it's not, music isn't my thing. But there are people I totally appreciate that love and eat up that stuff.
That's what makes Good Morning Gloucester, Good Morning Gloucester. Mm. There's so much information, you know.
So when she asks, her question, how would you compare the blog's content now than what it was a year or two ago? It's more diverse. It's definitely a little less edgy. But you know, I'm really glad that we just put Nicole Schraft on.
She's doing a great job.
She's a great writer.
Yeah,
and she kind of walks the line a little bit of you know.
Yeah, super sweet.
Yeah, really funny.
Yeah.
Great writer.
Yeah.
I am so happy to have her on board to kind of bring it back towards center. I feel like we went a little bit towards soft. And I feel like with her on board, maybe we got a little bit back towards center.
You know, like, people also need to understand that, again, when you're writing and you're a contributor, you know, people's lives go up and down. They're busy. They have more time to contribute, less time. Like, they connect things that have happened in their lives, their life experience. That's what the whole thing about contributing to the blog is. Mm. You know, like, everyone's perspectives coming together, everyone's experiences, showcasing them in this one awesome venue. So, you know, there's going to be times where the days that people love what the content is, and there's going to be days that they don't, you know? Yeah. And there's days that we're struggling to just, our lives are busy and we're just trying to get something up there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it may not, but trust me, there are days that, like, I wish I could put 10 posts up.
Right. Because sometimes that you call me and you're like, do you mind? I have two or three things today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. You know, I'll shuffle one thing that I already had scheduled till tomorrow. You could take my time slot there.
Yeah.
Fine. That helps me out, be honest with you.
Right. But there are other times that it's like, I'm like, oh my God, like, and I feel so guilty if I just put up a picture because I know people are expecting me to write something about it or, you know, share something more than that. So I feel like I'm disappointing people. And I know other contributors feel the same way, but we're all human and we're all, you know, it's good.
It was funny, early on in the blog, like really early, like within a year, so it was probably 2008, I had asked, you know, how can I get better? Like, you know, what can we do? What can I do? At this time, it was just me and Sharon. What can we do that's better? And the guy gave me some advice back then. I don't remember who the guy was, but he gave me advice. He says, you know, when you put just a picture up there, it's just a picture. But if you just add a line with it, like explaining what's going on in the picture from your perspective, it becomes so much more. And I kind of like, oh, wow, that's kind of interesting. And it was kind of true. So an interesting post doesn't have to be that detailed, you know what I mean? But an interesting post could be like, okay, a picture and some a little comment on it or something like that.
Yeah, people like to know, I think, across the board, all contributors, whenever they post something, whatever it is, even in the title, the connection for that contributor to what their post is, readers of the blog like that. Exactly what you just said, a little something. It doesn't have to be a long paragraph. It could just be in the title, like, you know, or it could be a word under the photograph, before the photograph. But that little bit goes a long way.
Mm.
A long way.
Well, I agree. You got one of those coffee makers. The ones that the espresso.
I got the big one that makes like 8 to 10 cups, something like that. Love it.
Where did you buy it?
TJ Maxx and more, my favorite store.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a TJ Maxx and Marshall's boutique girl.
Everybody kind of, I can understand why, because sometimes they just, if you just walk through and you may not hit anything for 5 or 6 days, and then you go through and you're like, whoa, there's the, like, you could score some things. Wait, now, didn't they I thought they had those. Do they carry those at Sclafani's?
Sclafani's and Vigilio's both carry them. I've seen them in both stores.
But there's smaller ones. Is that why?
Yeah, I was in Vigilio's the other day. I'm almost 99% sure I saw correctly. They had a smaller one and a bigger one, but not as big as the one that I got. Mine is a different brand, and I forget the name of it.
Do you know how much they charge for them at Sclafani's?
I want to say they're around $29, somewhere around there. Okay. And that's for the small one. Now, the one that I bought, which, again, is a different brand than the one that they carry at Sclafani and Vigilio's, it's taller. That one also was $29, and I got it at TJ Maxx up in Byfield area there.
So, yeah, I saw them at, where did I see them? Oh, I saw them, different colored ones, but they were at the place. I was getting coffee pods for the Keurig, and what's the place across from the mall?
Oh, Linens and Things of Bed Bath and Beyond. Bed Bath and Beyond. Yeah, it was there. I always forget which
so
one.
So they had the kind that they have at.
Yes, that's what the G, isn't it?
That's what the Gialetti or something like that. But they were $40. And so the point being, I know you can get them for less money at Sclafani's.
Absolutely. I know Sclafani,
Or probably Vigilio's,
they had,
too.
They had one at TJ Maxx. It was cool. I didn't buy it because it didn't match my kitchen, and it has to match my kitchen, but it had a red portion. It was the smaller one. And it was half red and half silver. It was really, really pretty.
But that's what these ones they had there
they
were
different
colors. They had purple. They had blue.
Ooh, see, purple would match my kitchen.
That one would definitely match your kitchen.
Yeah.
They had different color ones, but they were also $40. And I know that I always remember seeing them literally like 20, 30 years ago at Sclafani's and looking at them and always saying, wow, it would be interesting to I don't know how those work, but they've been there forever.
Yeah.
And I know people use them. But the reason that they've been there forever, they're so timeless, and they work. They just work.
They work. I'm going to tell you, I've been loving.
Have you
been Joseph? Well, Ma just bought me a whole new, can of espresso.
Of real coffee. Lavazza.
Lavazza is the best.
The Lavazza.
And I have that frother that does the milk, which I bought at Kohl's. Mm-hmm. And I think I got it for like $25, like with all those awesome coupons that Kohl's has. And that you put that on top, the frothy milk, yum.
There you go.
You're good. A fan of the frothy milk.
I love frothy milk. I put it in my tea every day. It won't go.
BJ.
Yeah.
Here's another question for you, because your last segment when you brought up Spotify sparked a big discussion on the blog. Give us another one of your apps or online tools that you use, some free tool that is out there on the web that people may or may not know about that you use on a daily basis, or you think is really cool and people should know about.
How about something from school, one of those things you use?
I know from talking to you, you use Google Drive.
I'm a big fan of Google Drive.
You're a big Google Drive. Like, now, is that do a lot of schools use Google Drive, or is that something you do on your own, or is the teachers advise you to use Google Drive? Or
yeah, I'd say the teachers advise us to use it. I mean, they tell us about it, and then like as you like now that I'm in sophomore year, like it's kind of like do it the way that you want. Just make sure it's gonna work. Like whatever way works for you, just do it.
But the Google suite of apps I use probably 10 or 15 different ones. I use Gmail, obviously. Use Google Drive for storing documents. I use their photo app. I mean, it Blogger, for certain things. But it's amazing how much, and they say nothing is free, because obviously they're collecting information about you and stuff like that, and trying to sell you products. You know, the people that have a hang up about that, I say get over it. Do you think that these people are taking time? Like, there's bazillions of people using Gmail, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that there's some nerd sitting in a corner that is that you're so special that they're focusing their eyes on what you particularly are doing and what you're thinking? No, this is all computer generated, and
they're not spying on you.
They're not spying. I mean,
let them spy. What do they want?
Indirectly, they're spying on you, but like it's. Like, for what they give you for free and what these engineers have done to, and how much storage space they give you to store stuff and everything else, I say get over this. You know what I mean? Like,
I love Google Drive. BJ taught me how to use it. I love it. Good. It like automatically saves everything. You're not always like hitting save. Like,
but you can access it from your phone.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
Google Drive, you know, it's right up there with Dropbox for me is my.
I like Google Drive over Dropbox.
Oh, me too. Dropbox gives me nightmares.
Yeah, but you can't save.
I guess if you're doing pictures, like, I could see why you'd like Dropbox over Google Drive.
I like Dropbox because, like, when I get done editing this audio file,
yeah,
right, it's going to be a huge file that I can't send in an email.
Yeah, that's true.
So to share, like, the whole idea of Dropbox is to, like, say you know, Felicia did some, there was some event at her house. Yeah. Or say it was, whatever, a baseball game, and David Cox took 75 photos.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to get 75 photos through the email unless you space them out into 10 different emails.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
send them that way, and they're probably going to have to resize them and all and everything.
Yeah.
Instead of just creating a file, a folder,
yeah,
sticking them in the folder, and clicking the share button.
Yeah. For what you do, I'd say Dropbox is better than Google Drive. But for me, when I'm writing papers and I want to type a little bit of on my iPad, and then I go into the library at school and I want to type on the computer, like, Google Drive is the way to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, like, for a written document,
yeah,
I wouldn't use Dropbox for that.
Obviously not.
Yeah, obviously not. I would use it, but there's different applications for different applications.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there really is, unless you want to physically put it on a flash drive and transport it across town or, you know, across country, then... Yeah.
Do people still do that?
No. Really.
David Cox, he still uses flash drives.
Yeah.
But, I mean, well, hey, look at you. You always say, I can't get Dropbox. I mean, well, you know, so if you can't get Dropbox, this is what you got to do, right?
No, this is when you call your son BJ and you say, BJ.
It's all it is a file system. You create a folder, you stick the things in a folder, and you click the share button. When you click the share button, you pull up the person's email address, and you click share.
It's so simple that I can't do it. I can cook. I can't do computers. I've never said I'm good with computers. I'm challenged with that stupid Dropbox. I don't know what it's wrong. I can't do it right. I never do it right. Ever. I don't think I've ever once done it right. Poor Kathy and James, through the whole cookbook experience, were ready to kill me because Dropbox.
It's not that hard.
I know it's not that hard, but for some reason my brain can't do it.
Create a folder, drag the files
drag
into
the
folder.
Files. Share. I share, it says it's shared, nobody gets it. Okay. Whatever.
All right.
That's why I need an intern to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't mind people that try something and then if they don't get it, and then they say, okay, I don't get it. But I don't like the ones that, it bothers me when people, I can't get it. I'm not a computer person, and they don't try.
I have tried 400 times.
Okay, we're not talking about you. We're talking about people in general.
Yeah, in general. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, well, there you go. We got a podcast, I guess. It was nice, and thanks for coming in, guys. Felicia brought some of her, what do you call those cookies?
The almond caffaletti cookies.
How do you say it again?
Caffaletti.
Caffaletti?
Caffaletti. They're yummy.
Powdered sugar.
Straight
coma.
But they're not really sweet. You can't say it's like a real sweet cookie. It has a perfect balance.
It's definitely good balance. And it's just, if I eat like 3 or 4 of those, it's just coma time. But I mean, that's not any pastry for me.
You react differently to sweets, which is funny because you grew up on sweets.
I did. I overindulged. Well, grandma and grandpa with the store had the penny candy. All, you know, they had shelves and shelves of candy. It was like, you know,
it's an endless supply for us.
It was just like, you know, their grocery store. You know, it's funny. I think about this nowadays. Like, you know, there was all these Italian grocery stores and the little tiny ones. Now, if you go to, like, you know, into Lynn or Chelsea, whatever, it's all like Brazilians and
all little shops like Grandpa.
It's all these little communities of these ethnic people. Our grandparents were ethnic people coming from Sicily and stuff like that.
Yep,
they had their own stores where they carried the products that their people wanted to purchase because you couldn't necessarily get them at Stop and Shop or A&P. So now these people, these Brazilians, come over. And they're doing it for their culture, which is
awesome.
And you see how, you know, and those people will be, you know, once they get to 2 or 3 generations of really hardworking people and stuff, their kids are gonna be, you know, doing different stuff, and
really,
then there'll be a different
really
wave.
Miss,
you know,
I miss like Grandpa's store and Joe Cairo's. I miss all those. I mean, we have, luckily we have Virgilio still and Scalfani. Yeah. And they carry a lot of the products. They do. They carry a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I shop at both every single week, several times a week. Yeah. But, you know, Grandpa's store really had a real wide, wide variety of products that...
And there was a bunch of them. There was like three or four of them. Joe Cairo's did the same thing.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
The,
yeah.
The boat orders.
Yeah.
They would go down and see these boats would go out for a week at a time.
Yeah.
So they probably had 30 or 40 boats apiece, and the chef of the boat, the cook on the boat, would hand in a list to the to.
They would
to,
call it in. We used they, to. I remember they, taking those they, orders at
right.
the store. We
They'd call it in. You write it down in like a little spiral
yeah.
Notepad.
Mm-hmm.
You'd write it down. You'd stock the order. You'd put them into boxes.
Banana boxes,
whatever the kind of boxes similar to what you'd get at BJ's or Costco
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And then he had a van and he would drive down to the waterfront, and you would have to, the boats back then aren't like the boats today that each have individual tie-up spots with a 35-foot fiberglass boat. These boats were like 100-foot boats,
truck over six boats.
And you would have to like get down the ladder with these you know boxes and boxes of produce and meat and stuff like that for the boat.
Spiza.
And then you'd climb over each deck of each boat because they were tied up three and four and five abreast, and he would have a key to each of their foxholes, and you would pass them down, and you'd go down inside where the galley of the boat was, and put them into their fridges and stuff like that, and that's the way Joe Cairo's did it. There was like four or five different places.
That one on Friend
was
Street.
Was there
I forget
called
the name on Friend Street.
Gloucester. It was another Shimataro family, like. It was down by where McTee's is, Latitude is now. There was one down there. Was it Gloucester Supply?
Gloucester Supply.
No, I forget what
different.
It was. But it was Tony Shimataro, Baby Rose, and those that family had one.
Yeah, yeah.
Virgilio's
did boat orders.
Did they?
Yeah, they did boat orders years ago. All those stores, they all service the boats. Everybody
yeah.
had their, their contact person, but. Those were good days. You delivered many of those boat orders with Grandpa.
Yep,
Uncle Frankie.
I helped hump the.
I remember Auntie Gina and I. We used to love filling those boat orders. It was like personal shopping for people. The boxes would line the aisles.
That was
and we
where
would fill them up.
Our mother would dump us off there.
Yeah, and we'd be put to work.
We'd be put to work. It was basically babysitting. And that's the way the families used to do it. You know,
it's
and
awesome.
It wasn't like today. Like you know, my Ma would go off and do her thing, and we would be with our grandparents at the store stocking boats, and you know that's how we learned how to work.
How you got all that candy.
And yeah, and we ate our weight in candy.
Do you remember when he got the gelato maker? How awesome that was! We went from having Italian ice to he started making the Italian gelato, and we used to have the soup and glaze.
Never,
remember all that?
I was never a fan of the gelato. Though.
You weren't? Oh, God, I can still taste it. I want to make it this summer. That's my goal, to learn to do that again.
I like the Italian ice, but I wasn't a fan of the gelato. I don't know. Even when you go to Italy, that's all they have. They don't have they don't have like American ice cream. It's all gelato all over the place.
I like gelato better than ice cream.
What's the difference? Is it like they make gelato with milk instead of cream?
It's definitely more
rich,
creamy.
Dense. It's more dense.
Yeah.
Dense.
Yeah, they do interesting things. Like when you go to Italy, the way they display it is definitely like an art form. The way they have them all the different flavors all laid out.
When you sent some pictures when you were on your trip to Italy. A lot of those cases with the gelato, that's exactly the way Grandpa's was. When Grandpa went to Italy when we were younger, he had that shipped over. The silver case with the red and the glass, very modern.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful machines. Beautiful
His store
machines.
Was something else.
It was.
And then they had, how many hours that guy worked? Jesus Christ.
It's easier to count the hours that he
didn't work, yeah. He was there because they ended up having a grocery store and then the liquor store was right next to it. So they were open until late at night as well. They'd get there early in the morning to open up, and they were there till late at night.
He would actually go to Boston to get the produce at Chelsea Market and then open the store at 8 o'clock. Then stay through the night. So his day started long before the store actually opened at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
He was up much
Pat's
earlier. He
Center
was,
Grocery.
Yeah, he was a hard worker.
Yeah, both of our grandfathers.
Yeah.
So there you go. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Thanks, Ann Kennedy, for your questions. I thought they were great questions.
Yes.
I hope we answered
them
the right way, you know. And
We're going forward.
A lot of fun. Moving on. You guys have a great day. Another GloucesterCast in the books for BJ Moan, Sister Felicia, and me, Joey Shimataro. Enjoy the warm weather. We're out of it. We're out of the mess.